But today is Tashlich. The inyan of going to Tashlich. First, I'll tell you right off the bat, Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, the Vilna Gaon, did not Chazonish, did not go to Tashlich. So if you don't go to Tashlich, don't feel bad, you're in good company.
I asked for Steinberg to show.
Yes.
About
yes.
Just open up your sink and say Tashlich.
That's right, in shul. Yeah, there are many kihilois to say Tashlich in shul.
Syrians have a little kiddie pool.
Yes.
And they say Tashlich.
Yes.
You can say Tashlich after davening in shul. It's also okay.
Go to the kitchen,
on the sink. There are many coolest. Or you don't have to say Tashlich altogether. What more do you want? The Vilna Gaon, Chazonish. Chaim Avolozhin, go back. Chaim Avolozhin. He didn't say Tashlich. So where does it come, the minhag of saying Tashlich? The earliest record of saying Tashlich comes from the Maril. The Maril was way before the Vilna Gaon. Okay, but it's definitely brought down by the Maril. The Maril said the Indian to go out, chutz lo'ir, to even the way to do Tashlich, probably the best way to do Tashlich, is not even to do it inside the city. You're supposed to leave the city limits. Chutz lo'ir, to walk outside the city and go say Tashlich. Where does it come from? So there are many reasons, but the primary reason, beyond a shadow of a doubt, comes from the Medrash. When Avraham Avinu went to offer Yitzchak as a korban olah at the Akedah, he was stopped by the Satan. The Satan saw that he was proceeding and he wanted to prevent him, so the Satan brought about a flood. And Avraham had to cross a river, and he went through the river, and he came lidei sakon. He almost came that close to drowning, and while he was drowning, he was mispalel, Ribbono shel Olam, I'm going here to do your will, to do your ratzon, to offer my son Yitzchak as a korban olah, the Akedah. How could it be that something like this is going to happen? I'm going to be stopped in my tracks. And miraculously, he was spared from drowning in this nahar. Being that the entire day of Rosh Hashanah focuses around the Akedah, we blow shofar as zechof the Akedah, or the psukim from Zichrayna Yisrael for the Akedah, everything is about the Akedah, therefore we reenact the Akedah, or at least we ma'oyer rachem by going chutz le'ir, because again, Avraham Avinu, where did he find the water? The water was outside the city. Avraham Avinu had to travel a long distance to reach the destination to bring through. So we go on a journey, a small journey, chutz le'ir, we come to a river, and in our minds we reenact, look, Avraham Avinu, he also went chutz le'ir to go to a destination, and he came across the river, and the river almost drowned him, and he was mispalel, and we reenact the Siras Nefesh of Amravinu, that's where it all comes from. Now, very interestingly, the original minhag of the Maril is to go to a river and do nothing. Okay, you go today to Tashlich. No one would dare go to Tashlich today without a machzor. And just to say, Mikel Kamoicha, to say a few psukim, it's very unsatisfying. You gotta go say and say and say. I don't know what they're saying. People are just saying and they're saying and saying. Everything you say, everything, the whole kitchen sink. You say Tehillim, and well, there's a Tehillim from the Chidah. What's very popular is to say a beautiful Tefillah from the Chidah. But the truth is, many question all of these Tefillahs, and they suggest, they make a very strong suggestion that the original Takana of Tashlich is just to go to the river, and that's it. You leave the city, and you just go to the river, and you look at the river, and you think. And you think to your mind, Avraham Avinu, it's Yashrusiyom Hadin, Avraham Avinu, he went and he was Moshe Nevesh to the Akedah, and he had the greatest difficulties. There's no greater difficulty than crossing a river, Bikuach Nevesh, to cross a river to go get to your destination. See, we're spoiled. We live in a modern world. We don't have any hasagas of anything. But if we were living in ancient times, if you want to talk about Mesiras Nefesh, you want to accomplish something, you want to go somewhere, there are impediments. And the greatest impediment to get to your destination is water. It's something which we can't even fathom what the symbolism is. But in ancient times, it was a big deal. You want to go somewhere, you got to go over a river. Going over a river, you really did not know. If you go on a boat, you go on a river, you swim. Okay, the easiest way to go across the river is to swim across the river. But many people, when they would go swim across the river, they would really ask themselves, there's a very high probability I'm not gonna make it. If I go over on a raft, I might get swept away. If I swim, there may be a riptide, or maybe the current is just too strong, and there's a very real possibility I'm not going to survive. Is the mission really worth it? You got to weigh the mission. There's a 30% chance I'm going to die, but maybe the 70% chance I'll succeed in crossing the river is worth the goal of the river. Think about it. That's a very powerful thing. So when you go in the Yom HaDin, what are we here for in this world? We're here in this world to serve Hashem. Sometimes serving Hashem requires a little mesiras nefesh. So in order to arouse a person to such a machshava, you go on the road, you come to a river, and you think about these things. Today, it's not going to happen. Today, when you go to the river, and you go to a pond, you're going to come to such a machshava. I guess that's why we need to say a nusach. We need to say some psukim. Unfortunately, we don't even know what the words mean. So we have to have another set of psukim from the Chidah. You have to have an English translation. You have to, then that's also not enough. So you have to feed the fish. And then you have to empty out things of your pockets. We have to look at our tzitzis. You know, everything builds on itself. When you lose focus of the ikar, unfortunately, one thing leads to another, and you lose focus on what the ikar is. Maybe for that reason, the Chaim Volozhin, maybe wasn't okay in his day. I know. So somehow these individuals, they did not do these things. Now, one thing is sure: this was a Marilis Ashkenaz, Germany. Baril was from Germany. He makes mention, the Sfardim never did this. This is not the meaning of the Sfardim. Somehow it crept into the Sfardim as well. But it definitely, there is no early Makar that this was a Sfardish minug. It's an Ashkenazi, a German minug, which had somehow came...
the father of all...
all Minhagim. Ashkenaz Minhagim. Ashkenaz Minhagim. And it appears that there's... there's no mention in early sources of that time of the Maril that Sfardim did this, but yet it became worldwide. It was worldwide. This is accepted among the Sfardim in Egypt, in Syria, in Africa, he writes. Somehow this became very, very popular.
Did he have the same opinion as Slichus?
What do you mean, Slichus? No, Slichus is the Yugil Mil Sarachamim. That's a whole different... What do you mean?
A lot of the things we say, we don't know what they mean.
Ein Ochrani.
Personally, I'm more turned on by the Tashrich.
Okay.
And there's a lot of similarity between the both.
You have to, that's the generation that we live in today, that you have to do everything, everyone is different. Everyone has certain nitiyos to different things that turns them on, and that's how we are today. So it's very good. If it awakens your neshama, it's worth it. It's worth it.
Right, but it sounds like an attack against
Tashlich. Chas v'shalom to attack. I go to Tashlich. What? Well, there are people. They are attacking it. I mean, if they write over here a story, very interesting story, the Chazon Ish. Someone came to the Chazon Ish. One of the Gedolei, I couldn't figure out the whole story. Very interesting story. Who was it? One, someone came to the Chazon Ish and he told the Chazon Ish, I have to go now. It's getting late. I have to Tashlich. It was Rosh Hashanah. So the Chaz says, it's already late, so don't go already. So he says, the Chazon Ish, you're not going to listen to what the Chazon Ish tells you to do. So he said, I don't give the whole story. He said to him, you know, I was by the Chofetz Chaim, and he also told me to do something, and I didn't listen to him. So if I didn't listen to the Chofetz Chaim, I'm not going to listen to you either.
Imagine
something similar to the Chofetz Chaim. It was by the Chofetz Chaim. He wanted to do a minute of the Chofetz Chaim. Yeah, so don't do the minute. I didn't listen to the Chofetz Chaim, so I'm not going to listen to you either. I'm going to go to Tashlich.
He mentions attacking.
Yeah.
They don't attack it. They tell you to avoid it because of the socializing.
Okay, that's a different topic. No, we're going to get to that. We're going to go to that. That's another topic. When is the proper time to go? Should women go to Tashlich? That itself is an interesting topic of discussion. Okay. Now, I'm trying to just to fill in all the winters very quick. Let's see. Um, Okay. This over here. Okay, now there's another time. There are many other reasons why the later commentators, this isn't really drush, it's machshava, of why we go to Tashlich. Obviously, again, no one is denying the Iker time is the Medrash, the Akedah, the Nar. But some of the other reasons are, number one, that you go to the Yam, you go to the water, you see the Koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the great miracles of creation that Chazal emphasized in Ma'aseh Bereishis is Hashem created a boundary for the Yam. In Chazal's eyes, there's absolutely no reason why the waters of the seas, of the oceans, should not flood the earth. The oceans are massive, they have the power, they have the strength. What? Global warming. Okay, but in the eyes of Chazal, this should have happened long ago. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was goyzer to set a boundary ad po savo v'loy soysif. There are psukim chol gvul yam. The fact that there is a boundary, the chol, the sand, the seashore, is the boundary, is a recognition of the gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Ma'aseh Bereishis, being that Rosh Hashanah is the day that we say in davening Zeh Hayom Techilas Ma'asecha, Rosh Hashanah represents, it's the day of the creation of the world. Yom Rosh Hashanah is the pinnacle of creation, is the creation of man, which concludes the Ma'aseh Bereishis. If today is Ma'aseh Bereishis, Rosh Hashanah is Ma'aseh Bereishis, you have to experience Ma'aseh Bereishis. The way to experience Ma'aseh Bereishis is go out to the world and see the world. Obviously, Rosh Hashanah, you can't go see the world. But the very least is you can see the Gevul Yam. Seeing the Gevul Yam in Chazal, the Maril, that time was a very important thing. You go out of the city, you go to the closest seashore, and you see, if you live along the coast, you live along the Mediterranean area, in Ashkenaz, so they went to the Atlantic, maybe they did, in Germany, the Rhineland, I don't know where they, but you go, the Rhine River, it is an expression, by going out, you are fulfilling what you are experiencing, what you've been davening the entire day. Zeh Hayom Techilas Ma'asecha, Hashem created the most amazing world, and built into the world are safeguards, which express the Gevura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Teva is bound to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and one such way to take in the Gevura is to go to the boundary between the earth and the Yam, and to see that the Yam obeys the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an expression, and we also should come to obey the Gevura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that will be a zechus for us in the Yoyim Hadin. This is one very beautiful idea that is mentioned by some of the Memori Chazal. Okay, now there's another interesting idea. This is really of a drush. Now this drush is okay. I'm just jumping around a little bit, just following the page drush as a footnote. Is that we have a minhag of kaparos. It's a very controversial minhag, which everyone does to some degree. Okay, that's a real controversial minhag. Do you do kaparos with a chicken? Do you do kaparos with money? Staka, but let's focus on those people who do. Where did it come from? Kaparis, taking a chicken and swinging around your head and saying zet zeh zet tzmura zeh. So interestingly, some say kaparis really came from Tashlich. One of the early minhagim of Tashlich was people when in Chodesh Elul. I'll read you here the words. They would plant seeds in the beginning of Chodesh Elul, either 22 days or 15 days before Rosh Hashanah, 22 or 15 days, they would plant seeds in the ground. And these seeds would grow. They would grow these small little seeds. And then Erev Rosh Hashanah, they would go out to their backyard and pull out these plants that have been growing in their backyard for 22 days or for 15 days, and they would swing it around their head, and they would seven times, they would say, mamash, what we do for kaparis, but this was done before Rosh Hashanah, on seeds, on plants that were planted in Elul, and then they would take it, and they would go to the river, Erev Rosh Hashanah, not on Rosh Hashanah, and throw it into the Yam. And basically say, now we're safe. Sounds like voodoo to us, right? But this was an minakadmon, and this seems to be something which is the original, how Kaparis started. So it appears that this is one of the sources of how Tashlich came about. What was the end of Tashlich? After swinging around your head seven times, Erev Rosh Hashanah, you throw it into the Yam. So we don't do this anymore. We don't plant any more things in our backyard 22 days before, and we don't swing it around our head Erev Rosh Hashanah. At the very least, we go to a body of water and we throw something into the water. We throw food into the water, or we shake out our clothing. The clothing represents, it's symbolic. What? Erev Rosh Hashanah. The original minhag was to throw in Erev Rosh Hashanah. So somehow we don't do the whole process, but we have a zecher l'davar. We do this minhag on Rosh Hashanah itself. Okay, that's an interesting idea. Now there are other reasons given based from Sukkim. We find there's a pasuk in Nechemiah. This is really a very nice makar. In Nechemiah, we want to start here in Nechemiah together. It says in Nechemiah, he gathered everyone together on Rosh Hashanah to give them musar. To give them musar, they should separate from their non-Jewish wives. They should do tshuva when they rebuild the Bayis Sheni. And the pasuk in Nechemiah, in Perikhes, pasuk Aleph says, "Vayiosfu kol ha'am ki ish echad el harechoiv asher lifnei shar hamayim." And there, Yirmiyah began to give them words of Musa. And this was a major event. This event was the event which really began the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. And it was a moment of great hisoirus, of tshuva. People divorced their non-Jewish wives. It was one of the greatest moments of tshuva for Klal Yisrael. And this event took place, what? Nechemiah. Nechemiah and Ezra, they were in the same tekufa. Nechemiah and Ezra. This was Sefer Nechemiah. I think this was Nechemiah. He gathered the people there. And the gathered people there, they there was this great, great moment. And there the pasuk says it took place in front of the Shar Hamayim. And this event took place on Rosh Hashanah. So some want to suggest, and this goes back, Nechemiah was way before the Maril. Okay, we're dealing before the Maril. How many years before the Maril? Seven.
Maril was in the 1400s.
So we're dealing over 1,000 years before the Maril. So this goes way back. So someone wanted to suggest that the meaning of Tashlich, to go to a body of water, is we are reenacting that massive, major event that took place in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, which had an incredible influence over Klal Yisrael, and we're reenacting the Maisa of what happened in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, based upon what it says in that Pesuk, which indeed took place on that very day. Okay, there's another time given. This time is interesting. We don't do today. Maybe if we live in different times, there's more an appreciation for these type of minhagim. There was a minhag in ancient times that in a base ovel, they would fill up a cup of water. Say when you go to a base ovel, Rachman al Itzlan, they have candles burning, they have a sign from the Saskim, Makam, all of the furniture, all of the trappings that come along, Rachman al Itzlan, with the base ovel. Well, in ancient times, in the base ovel, what they did was, it was a big cup of water. That's what they did. That was a sign of a Beis Avel. They have a big cup of water filled with water. Why? Because water represents the period of Gashmius from Ruchnius. Water is pure. There's nothing in the water. There's no flavor. There's nothing. I don't really know what this means. I'm just reading over here words. But this is something which is recorded that was done. It is symbolic, or it's Kabbalistic, separation of the neshama from the guf. It represents purity. The neshama has left this world. The neshama now is pure. It has been removed from any influence from the Vargashmi. It's in a pure state. Rosh Hashanah is a time when the neshama is cleansed. And it was a takeoff on what was done in the base Ovel. In the base of Ovel, as a sign of Tahara, they had a big cup of water. On Rosh Hashanah, we all wear white, we dress in white clothing, we do all of these things to show that we're pure. So somehow it was a way of showing that we want to be pure. pure. Another time given is based upon a pasuk in Chazal that when they would anoint a king, when a melech was, and this is a very popular idea, when a melech was anointed, they anointed him along the spring, along the river, by David and by Shaul. The place where you anoint a melech, you mamlech a melech, is along a river. And it's symbolic that just like the waters of the river flow continuously, it is symbolic, simone milsa, the malchus of the melech should flow like a river. And this was something that was done in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when a new king was appointed. It was done by the river. On Rosh Hashanah, we're mamlech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, malchios, the melech malchei hamlochim. So we go to the river as an expression, we are here today to declare you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the melech Malchei Hamlochim. Okay, some say water is symbolic of Chesed. I don't know, these are more Kabbalistic in Yana. Oh, so we say the Tzukim. So once we go there, so we say the Tzukim, then we'll come to later on what exactly you say. Okay. Let's see what it says. I remember already. Okay. Okay, let's discuss some other things. Now, what about? I'm jumping around a little bit. Okay, we'll just come back, go back and forth as things come to memory because we're running out of time. Also, when is the proper zman to say tashlich? So, when is the ideal time to say tashlich? So, he cites over here something very shocking. There's some of the minog to say tashlich twice. Hashanah Rab is a new minug. He discusses that. He says it's very hard to find the source. There is such a minug. He has sources to cite all these things. Everything I'm telling you is coming from the Mu'adim L'Simcha by my friend. He cites that there is such an Indian that there are two types of tashlich. There's a tashlich for Rosh Hashanah and there's a tashlich for Yom Kippur. There are different the sources of what is the reason for Tashlich. Is it a din of Malchus? You're coming to declare Kadosh Baruch Hu as Melech, or as the Akedah, which applies more to Rosh Hashanah? Or what we are more familiar with is the Tashlich is Tashlich b'msulos yom kol chatoisam. The Psukim in Micha. The Psukim in Micha say, throw into the Yam, it's symbolic, kol Tashlich b'msulos yom, in the depths of the sea, kol chatas, get rid of your averos. Throw the averos away in a place that you'll never find. That theme is a theme that relates to Yom Kippur. That does not relate to Rosh Hashanah. If you want to talk about Tashlich being a zecher for the Akedah, that's Rosh Hashanah. You want to talk about Tashlich being the day we're going to declare HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Melech. These are themes, most of the themes relate to Rosh Hashanah and not to Yom Kippur. So where does the Pesukim Tashlich Mitzulos? Sein Achnami, some are of the opinion that there are two different types of Tashlich. There's a Tashlich for Rosh Hashanah and there's Tashlich for Yom Kippur. Could very well be the original minhag was. What?
Different
tefillos? Maybe I told you before, the Maral, the Maril, from the Maril, there's nothing, you don't say anything by Tashlich. You just go to the water and you look. You look at the water, you don't say anything. So that's the din of Rosh Hashanah. To say the Pesukim of Sashlich b'msulos clearly relates to Yom Kippur. So indeed, there are people that do Tashlich twice. They do Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah, and they do a Tashlich. Now get a little, the Wurman Hagim, no question about this, that the minhag to say Tashlich was done on Yom Kippur, On Yom Kippur itself, they went outside to a body of water. You can't carry Yom Kippur, so it's a little bit problematic. I got to know the Pesukim of my heart. After Mincha, before Mincha, they went to say Tashlich, yeah?
That pasuk you mentioned after Maftar Yoinah.
Right, Micha. So right after they said Maftar Yoinah, before they dive in the Ilah, the original Midig in many kilos was to go. We just said the Pesukim of Maftar Yoinah, Mikel Kamoicha. Now we're going to go outside the shul to the backyard. There's going to be a body of water. We're going to say Tashlich. This definitely was done in some communities. On Yom Kippur.
You didn't have to say it again. They said Mikel Kamoicha.
No, so they said it right. Okay, no, they said it. That was the saying. The Amir in Beis HaKnesses was going to be the night, just go out to the water and look. To go make the visual presentation on Yom Kippur. It became impractical to do it on Yom Kippur for various reasons. Because we don't all live in a community where you can go when people are fasting and it's getting dark. So they said the next best thing is to do it Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur is also not so easy because people are busy preparing for Yom Kippur to eating. So the next best thing is to say it on the day, the Slichos, on the eighth day of the Aseres Yimei Teshuva. And this indeed is a very popular minug among Hasidim. I think Chabad does this. Everyone, many people do this. The day when you recite the Slichos of the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, which is the eighth day of Slichos. The eighth day of Slichos, it depends really on the year because we switch it around when it's Monday and Thursday, but generally on the eighth day is the day when many people have a minute to say why, because many understand that there's a transition between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur on the eighth day of the Aseres Yimei Teshuva. Until the seventh day of the Aseres Yimei Teshuva, you're still in the shadow. You're in the wake of Rosh Hashanah. You only truly begin Yom Kippur on the eighth day of the Aseres Yimei Teshuva. Rosh Hashanah's shadow extends for 7 days. So starting with Rosh Hashanah through day 7, it's 1 week. 1 week of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah takes you a whole week. Now, the eighth day, you're beginning Yom Kippur. So being that the Iker Zman of Tashlich is on Yom Kippur, not on Rosh Hashanah, you can't say Tashlich until you begin Yom Kippur. When does Yom Kippur begin? On the eighth day of the Aseres Yimei Teshuva, that's when you say the Yud Gimel Midah Yisrachim. And it certainly helps the fact that Mikel Kamocho, the Psuk Menicha, actually include, incorporate within it the Yud Gimel Midos HaRacha. And that's the topic of itself to see how it's all merumis. So this became a very popular minute. Now, what happens if you can't go on Yom Kippur, on the eighth day, and you can't go on Yom Kippur? So many say you can go, the minig is to go until Hoshana Rabbah. And Adrab, some of the minig Bedavka, to go Bedavka on Hoshana Rabbah. I know I always go on Hoshana Rabbah and it's packed. There's a lot of people go down, all the way down to Manhattan Beach. I go in Manhattan Beach, Hoshana Rabbah, the whole boardwalk is filled with families coming on Hoshana Rabbah to Tashlich. So he over here, he mentions there are such minhagim, and it's very, very hard to find in the car for that minhag. If you miss Hoshana Rabbah, so he brings down, you can do until Chanukah. You can even do on Purim itself. There's no harm done saying Tashlich whenever you want. What do you do when you go to say Tashlich? So we tip, like we said, some of you just go and look. That's also a fulfillment of looking at the water. Some many other minhag to say the pesukim micha mikel kamocha, the pesukim v'sashlich bimtzulos yom kol chatoisam. Question: do you feed the fish? Do you feed the fish? So this is a halachic issue. If you're going on Rosh Hashanah, big topic on Rosh Hashanah. Are you allowed? First, why would you want to feed the fish? So the reason why you would want to feed the fish is because the fish, because v'rachamav al kol ma'asav, you want to show rachmanis. You want to show the fish are also hungry. They also need what to eat. So if you have rachmanis on the fish, v'rachamav al kol ma'asav. So the same way you have rachmanis on the fish, Hashem shav rachmanis on us. There were many gedolei Yisrael that were makbid. It's very interesting. On Yom Kippur itself, before they went to davening, even mincha ne'ilah, to feed their animals. If Maisli is Maisla here from Chassidus Rebbe's on Yom Kippur, Mamash, Yom Kippur, okay, you can't eat. But no one said in the Torah that your animals can't eat. There's no din Shvisas Behemtoi for an animal. So they would feed their animals on Yom Kippur as an expression, the Rachamav, Al Kol Nasav. Hashem's Rachamim is extend to all. Question is, there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to feed creatures for whom you are not responsible for. You have no duty to feed the fish, so how are you allowed to feed the fish? So indeed, there are a collection of poskim that say that it's categorically forbidden to feed the fish on Yom Tov. Usser. But then there's another collection of poskim that say that you are allowed to feed the fish because you're not feeding the fish for them. You're really feeding the fish for yourself, for your own satisfaction and your own expression of Virach or Kol Masav, you're feeding the fish, therefore there's no prohibition. Now some say the reason you should be daf go where there are fish, because fish, their eyes never close. Fish do not blink. Is that true?
No. Yes. Sharks, the eyes close.
The eyes do close?
No, not a fish.
Okay, but a regular fish that you're going to find in the pond, the goldfish you're going to find in the Brooklyn College pond, don't have eyelids. And therefore, we bedafka, there's another reason for Tashach, you go because Hine lo yonum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. We seek out a creature who is the most similar to the Ribbono shel Olam in this respect, as a symbol to mevakesh rachamim, that Hashem shouldn't blink. because if Hashem blinks, we're in trouble. We don't even want to blink. Hashem is Hinei Lo Yinum Lo Yishan. Fish also, Dogim is Rashi Tevis. I don't know, you probably know this. The Yud Gimel, the expressions of Rachamim. A dog, we know that Hasidim, they eat fish. They eat fish on Yom Tif. A dog somehow in the world of Kabbalah is associated with the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. So we go, we're on the Rosh Hashanah, and we need Rachamim, so we go Bedafka to the places where there are fish. Okay, what else should you do when you go for Tashlich? So as I mentioned, some of the Minog, that you take out your shirt and you brush off the corners of your garment. Why? It's symbolic that a new leaf on life. A beged represents midos. Garments represents midoy bat. You makabel upon yourself to perfect your midos, to shake off your bad character and a new turn, new leaf on life. Some say you should do it bedafka with your talis kotv. Once already you're going to do an expression, a kabbalah, that you're going to have a change of character, you're going to improve yourself, you should use a beged shel mitzvah. A beged shel mitzvah will enhance it'll be more serious. You'll take it more seriously when you're using a beged shel mitzvah. What about checking your tzitzis? Now the son have a minute to check their tzitzis. They go to Tashah, they check their tzitzis. It's a very tough, very hard to find the makar for that. There is a minute when it comes to Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana, you're supposed to check your tzitzis. Why? So one of the common reasons, it's very interesting reason why you check your tzitzis when you go to Kiddush Levana. First of all, you have to be nenel, or you have to be able to benefit from the, you're not mekayem mitzvah Kiddush Levana unless you have enough benefit from the light. In order to see if you have benefit from the light, so you check your tzitzis. Others say something very similar. You go out to Kiddush Levana, people wonder, what are you, worshipping the moon? The goyim pass by and they see we're doing Kiddush Levana. What are you, bowing down to the moon? What are you doing to the moon? You only worship a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So the minig is you check the tzitzis represents mitzvahs Hashem. When you look at the moon, don't make a mistake and think that the moon has any koyach. I'm only hearing mekayim Hashem's ratzon, and Hashem's ratzon is expressed in the tzitzis, because the tzitzis are reasonable kol mitzvahs Hashem. Likewise, when you're going to the yam, come on, you're throwing all of your averos into the sea. Who are you fooling over here? There's no voodoo over here. You go to the yam, hocus pocus, I throw out of my pockets all my averos. You know it's nonsense. You should bedavka take out the tzitzit and remind yourself, throwing your crumbs to the fish is not going to save you on the Yom HaDin. The only thing that's going to save you on the Yom HaDin is Uri'isem oiso Uzechartem Eskol Mitzvahs Hashem Vasisem oisam. That's what's going to save you on the Yomim Noiram. So even though it seems foolish, what are you doing with the tzitzis? It's not so foolish. He did find over here a makar for this minute. Alright, we'll leave it with that. Have a wonderful day.